Inquisitors had little chance of resisting ruin. They had more spikes than any of his other hemolytic creations, and that put them completely under his domination. Yes, it would have taken a man of supreme will to resist ruin even slightly while bearing the spikes of an Inquisitor. 66. Caesar tried not to think about how dark the ash was in the sky or how terrible the land looked. "I've been such a fool," he thought, riding in the saddle. "Of all the times that the world needed something to believe in, this is it. And I wasn't there to give it to them." He hurt from so much riding, yet he clung to the saddle, still somewhat amazed at the creature who ran beneath him. When Caesar had first decided to go with Tensun south, he had despaired at making the trip. Ash fell like the snows of a blizzard, and it had piled terribly high in most places. Caesar had known travel would be difficult, and he'd feared slowing Tensun, who could obviously travel far more quickly as a wolfhound. Tensun considered this concern, then had ordered a horse and a large hog to be brought to him. Tensun first ingested the hog to give himself extra mass, then molded his gel-like flesh around the horse to digest it as well. Within an hour, he'd formed his body into a replica of the horse, but one with enhanced muscles and weight, creating the enormous extra-strong marvel which Caesar now rode. They'd been running non-stop since then. Fortunately, Caesar had some wakefulness he'd stored in a metal mine a year ago, after the siege of Luthadel. He used this to keep himself from falling asleep. It still amazed him that Tensun could enhance a horse's body so well. It moved with ease through the thick ash, or a real horse, and certainly a human, would have balked at the difficulty. "Another thing I've been a fool about. These last few days I could have been interrogating Tensun about his powers. How much more is there that I don't know?" Despite his shame, however, Caesar felt something of peace within himself. If he'd continued to teach about religions after he'd stopped believing in them, then he would have been a true hypocrite. Tyndall have believed in giving people hope, even if one had to tell them lies to do so. That's the credit she had given to religion. Lies that made people feel better. Caesar couldn't have acted the same way. At least he couldn't have done so and remained the person he wanted to be. However, he now had hope. The Terrace religion was the one that had taught about the Hero of Ages in the first place. If any contained the truth, it would be this one. Caesar needed to interrogate the first generation of Chandra and discover what they knew. "Though if I do find the truth, what will I do with it?" The trees they passed were stripped of leaves. The landscape was covered in a good 4 feet of ash. "How can you keep going like this?" Caesar asked as the Chandra galloped over a hilltop, shoving aside ash and ignoring obstructions.
"My people are created from mist wraiths," Tensun explained, not even sounding winded. "The Lord Ruler turned the ferrochemists into mist wraiths, and they began to breed true as a species. You add a blessing to a mist wraith, and they become awakened, turning into a Chandra. One such as I, created centuries after the Ascension, was born as a mist wraith, but became awakened when I received my blessing."
"Blessing?" Caesar asked.
"Two small metal spikes, Keeper," Tensun said. "We are created like Inquisitors, or like Kolos. However, we are more subtle creations than either of those. We were made third and last, as the Lord Ruler's power waned."
Caesar frowned, leaning low as the horse ran beneath some skeletal tree branches.
"What is different about you?"
"We have more independence of will than the other two," Tensun said. "We only have two spikes in us, while the others have more. An Allomancer can still take control of us, but free we remain more independent of mind than Kolos or Inquisitors, who are both affected by Ruin's impulses even when he isn't directly controlling them. Did you never wonder why both of them are driven so powerfully to kill?"
"That doesn't explain how you can carry me, all our baggage, and still run through this ash." The metal spikes we carry grant us things, Tensun said. Much as ferrochemy gives you strength, or allomancy gives Vin strength, my blessing gives me strength. It will never run out, but it isn't as spectacular as the bursts your people can create. Still, my blessing, mixed with my ability to craft my body as I wish, allows me a high level of endurance.
Sazed fell silent. They continued to gallop.
There isn't much time left, Tensun noted.
I can see that, Sazed said. It makes me wonder what we can do.
This is the only time in which we could succeed, Tensun said. We must be poised, ready to strike, ready to aid the Hero of Ages when she comes.
Comes?
She will lead an army of allomancers to the homeland, Tensun said, and there will save all of us. Chandra, human, Kolos, and Inquisitor.
An army of allomancers?
Then,
what am I to do?
You must convince the Chandra how dire the situation is, Tensun explained, slowing to a stop in the ash. For there is something they must be prepared to do. Something very difficult, yet necessary. My people will resist it, but perhaps you can show them the way.
Sazed nodded, then climbed off of the Chandra to stretch his legs.
Do you recognize this location? Tensun asked, turning to look at him with a horse's head.
I do not, Sazed said. With the ash. Well, I haven't really been able to follow our path for days.
Over that ridge, you will find the place where the Terrace people have set up their refugee camp.
Sazed turned with surprise.
The pits of Hathsin?
Tensun nodded.
We call it the homeland.
The pits? Sazed asked with shock.
But, well, not the pits themselves, Tensun said. You know that this entire area has cave complexes beneath it?
Sazed nodded. The place where Kelsier had trained his original army of Ska soldiers was just a short trip to the north.
Well, one of those cave complexes is the Chandra homeland. It abuts the pits of Hathsin. In fact, several of the Chandra passages run into the pits, and had to be kept closed off, lest workers in the pits find their way into the homeland.
Does your homeland grow Atium? Sazed asked.
Grow it? No, it does not. That is, I suppose, what separates the homeland from the pits of Hathsin. Either way, the entrance to my people's caverns is right there.
Sazed turned with a start.
Where?
That depression in the ash, Tensun said, nodding his large head toward it. Good luck, Keeper. I have my own duties to attend to.
Sazed nodded, feeling shocked that they had traveled so far so quickly, and untied his pack from the Chandra's back. He left the bag containing bones, those of the wolfhound, and another set that looked human. Probably a body Tensun carried to use should he need it. The enormous horse turned to go.
Wait,
Sazed said, raising a hand. Tensun looked back.
Good luck, Sazed said. May our god preserve you.
Tensun smiled with a strange equine expression, then took off, galloping through the ash. Sazed turned to the depression in the ground. Then he hefted his pack, filled with metal mines, and a solitary tome, and walked forward. Even moving that short distance in the ash was difficult. He reached the depression and, taking a breath, began to dig his way into the ash. He didn't get far before he slid down into a tunnel. It didn't open straight down, fortunately, and he didn't fall far. The cavern around him came up at an incline, opening to the outside world in a hole that was half pit, half cave. Sazed stood up in the cavern, then reached into his pack and pulled out a tin mine. With this, he tapped eyesight, improving his vision as he walked into the darkness. A tin mind didn't work as well as an allomancer's tin, or rather, it didn't work in the same way. It could allow one to see very great distances, but it was of far less help in poor illumination. Soon, even with his tin mind, Sazed was walking in darkness, feeling his way along the tunnel. And then he saw light.
"Halt!" a voice called. "Who returns from contract?"
Sazed continued forward. A part of him was frightened, but another part was just curious. He knew a very important fact. Khandra could not kill humans. Sazed stepped up to the light, which turned out to be a melon-sized rock atop a pole, its porous material coated with some kind of glowing fungus. A pair of Khandra blocked his path. They were easily identifiable as such, since they wore no clothing, and their skins were translucent. They appeared to have bones carved from rock.
"Fascinating," Sazed thought. "They make their own bones. I really do have a new culture to explore. A whole new society. Art, religion, mores, gender interactions."
The prospect was so exciting that, for a moment, even the end of the world seemed trivial by comparison. He had to remind himself to focus. He needed to investigate their religion first. Other things were secondary.
"Khandra, who are you? Which bones do you wear?"
"You are going to be surprised, I think," Sazed said as gently as he could. "For I am no Khandra. My name is Sazed, Keeper of Terrace, and I have been sent to speak with the First Generation."
Both Khandra guards started.
"You don't have to let me pass," Sazed said. "Of course, if you don't take me into your homeland, then I'll have to leave and tell everyone on the outside where it is."
The guards turned to each other.
"Come with us," one of them finally said.